ordained, I remember how nervous I was, how inadequate I felt, how not up to the task I knew myself to be. I didn't deserve to have the bishop lay his hands on my head and ordain me and pray that the Holy Spirit would give me the authority to preach the word and to celebrate the sacraments. My knees were knocking together. I was so afraid. And I remember when they came to usher me up into the chancel to kneel before the bishop and for the bishop to place his hands on me, I remember half expecting someone in the back of the sanctuary to say, wait a minute, bishop, don't ordain him. Don't ordain him. I was so inadequate. I felt like I didn't belong. How could I stand in a pulpit and preach and teach and celebrate the sacrament Sunday after Sunday when I questioned and had doubts and knew that I wasn't like the greats of the church of the past, wasn't like the great preachers and teachers, the doctors of the church of the past centuries, and how much I failed to live up to the expectation that I believed God had for me. God needed a much better instrument than Greg Neal. And that way, from early on, I felt like Samuel, young, inexperienced, feeling like I didn't really know what I was doing, because guess what? I didn't. Knowing that I was inadequate to the task, because I was. And in the midst of that state, hearing God's voice calling out to me, calling me to ministry, to teach and to preach, to stand behind the table and lift up my hands and preside at communion, to baptize, to lead a congregation was beyond my self-understanding. And yet, God did exactly that. The calling of Samuel, the calling of Jeremiah, the calling of Moses, the calling of Abraham and Sarah, the calling of Isaac and Rebekah, of Jacob and his wives, Leah and Rachel, Bilhah and Zilpah. What? Four? Yep, four. Joseph, Judah, and the rest of Jacob's sons. The calling of Ruth and Naomi. The calling of David. The calling of Jonah. The calling of Balaam and the calling of Gideon. The calling of Mary and Joseph and Peter and James and John and Paul. Calling of so many biblical persons, many of whom have been immortalized and elevated. But when you examine their lives in detail, the journey that they had, it becomes shocking that God would ever choose any of them. We wouldn't choose them. Many of them were nobodies. Others were failures. Still others were outright scandalous, scoundrels and liars and cheats and thieves. And self-righteous, self-important, insufferable know-it-alls. We would never choose these to the heroes in a story, examples for others to follow, but God chose them. God does this a lot. And this, my friends, these stories we're going to hear these next few Sundays about God's calling will illustrate the nature of God's call in our lives. We'll hear that God's calling comes to those whom we would not choose. God's calling comes in ways and at times that are not conventional, expected, or even wanted. God's calling is not always easy, but it can never be ignored. We might try, but we will fail. We might try to run away, but we could never get away from God. God's calling comes to us even when we think we are inadequate to the task. And others will certainly think that we are. Today, several of these are active. We wouldn't have chosen Samuel. He was just a young kid. Untrained, uneducated, he was serving as a servant to the high priest Eli. His principal job was to make sure that the candle of the presence of God did not fall over and burn down the tabernacle in the wilderness. Remember, at that time, they didn't have a built temple of stone. It was a tent. And so they had to be careful, so long as the candle of the presence of Yahweh Elohim was lit, that it didn't get knocked over and catch the whole thing on fire. His job was to make sure that it didn't catch fire. He had no special qualifications other than that. He didn't even know the Lord, whatever that means. All he could do was hear a calling that he thought was his boss, Eli, calling him. And yet, God chose Samuel, a young boy, a servant in the tabernacle. He chose Samuel to bring a very disturbing, very difficult message to Eli, the high priest. And that message came not with fanfare and great special effects like in a movie, no angels, no trumpets, no burning bush. Samuel got a voice, a quiet voice, a nighttime voice, calling out to him in the middle of the night, calling his name. And when he did listen, when Eli told him to listen and speak directly to God, and God will speak to you, the message he got wasn't a good one, wasn't an easy one, wasn't a message that would ingratiate himself to the high priest Eli. No. It was a hard message that Eli, the powerful high priest, Samuel's boss, his family, his sons, and he himself would be removed from leadership and divine worship. Because you see, Eli's sons were scoundrels. They used to steal the meat that would be offered to Yahweh. They would have sex with the women of the community just at random. They were scandalous scoundrels. And so God decided God was going to get rid of them and get rid of Eli too. And this was the message that Samuel got. I'd rather run away than give that message to Eli. Samuel gets this message, I'd rather run away, just not have to say it. After all, bunch of scoundrels here that Yahweh is going to take you out, they might take me out. Attack the messenger. But no, as corrupt as Eli was, he knew that the voice of God was to be listened to. And he told Samuel, you tell me what Yahweh said, and don't leave anything out, or may all of the curses come on you. He knew it was going to be bad news. Eli knew it was going to be bad news, and it was. I'm surprised Samuel didn't make a run for it, try to get away or twist the message, because if you don't run away, then the temptation is to twist the difficult messages. The messages that we don't want to hear. We can try to have excuses, alternative, different plans, different interpretations, but God's call cannot be ignored, cannot be denied, cannot be run from, cannot be twisted. Oh, we can try. We'll try all of these. One of my best friends in seminary was Helen Phillips. In 1989, Helen was 60 years old, and she was answering a call to ministry that she received when she was 15. She lived her whole life helping her husband in their business, working hard day by day. But she had a burning calling in her life to preach and to teach and to serve God's people in God's family, in God's church. And so after he retired, after her husband retired, she said, "Now we're going to do what God's calling me to do." And he said, Dick said, "Yes, ma'am." And they went to Durham, North Carolina, and she started in seminary and began her candidacy for ordained ministry. And Helen was, during my time in seminary, voted the best preacher of my senior class. We all loved to sit and listen to her in preaching class, in chapel, at other times, because Helen could stand and simply speak, and the word, the holy word, the holy wisdom of God would open to us and speak to us through her simple, diminutive, quiet, powerful form. Helen served in ministry until mandatory retirement at the age of 72, and then continued in retired ministry for more than 10 years beyond that, pastoring churches in the Holston Conference back in the eastern part of the United States, southeast. Helen was amazing. She had a call. She said she ran from it into her marriage and then ran through her marriage and then finally turned to it and followed it. And hundreds of people over the course of her more than 20 years in ministry were touched by God's grace through her. We can try to run away. We can try to change it. We can try to say no. We can feel inadequate. Our knees can knock, but it doesn't matter. God calls us. God's call simply is, and we must respond. Samuel heard God's call. A hard message to take to Eli, but he took it. Will we receive the message and carry it? How will we respond to God's calling in our lives? How have you responded? How are you responding right now? Those are good questions. As we explore God's call these next few Sundays, and especially as we approach the coming season of Lent, I want us to give special thought to how God is calling us as a church, as a community of believers, as a family of faith. How is God calling us to work and to serve in this community? How is God calling us to be witnesses of God's love, to be expressions of God's acceptance, to be a light in the darkness, to be an anchor in the storm, to be a voice of hope for the hopeless, and joy to those who need a reminder that they are not alone? God is calling us. God called Samuel. God is calling us. God is calling us to be a witness, to speak sometimes a difficult word, and to live and to love and to embrace and to reconcile and make new broken and hurting relationships in a broken and hurting world. How is God calling you today? Prayerfully consider that as we move forward through this season of the Sundays after Epiphany towards Lent. Consider what God is saying to you today. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and may God's people say, Amen. Dwell in your